election officials in California reminding voters who are fearful of contracting COVID-19 not to disinfect your mail-in ballots. A handful of Sacramento County voters dropped off destroyed ballots because they had attempted to clean it with liquid sanitizer, according to the Sacramento County Public Information Officers. Quote, voters do not need to be wary of COVID-19 exposure on their ballot paper or any of the contents inside their mailed envelope. Well, honestly, you can't blame some people because there was a period of time where people were told to disinfect absolutely everything and they get stuff in the mail. And there were questions about that. Now, of course, the CDC weeks ago said contact stuff. They were wrong. You don't really have to worry about getting it that way. But, I'm not surprised people get mail and they think I need to disinfect this. Doesn't surprise me.
Well, they sure sold a lot of disinfectant, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? Well, yeah. Got to use it for something.
Yeah.
I suppose. But, yeah, so no need to do that if you were going to be doing that with your ballot.
It doesn't live in your mail.
One of the things that we've always heard about before COVID, early voting, that people should early vote because it's not fair to make them wait. And you have an election where the turnout's heavy and, people are having to wait in line for hours. So in Georgia, they started early voting today. People are waiting in line for hours.
Too early vote.
What, one lady, 9 hours, she said. She had, I guess maybe it started yesterday. They allowed 9 hours in line.
Wow.
So much for, I want to be able to vote early so I don't have to wait in line.
Unbelievable. I have a feeling election night's going to be a long night.
I don't even know why cover it. Why it's going to, maybe a
just
long
come in the next
month.
Morning and it still won't be decided.
Long month.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. Well, usually we're out, and it just struck me the other day. I'm sure won't be able to do the show out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, generally we go over to we're the watch party for the Republican side, and it just hit me the other day. I thought, we're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we'll do.
You'll figure something out.
Yeah.
That's why you're here, is to figure stuff out.
One of those giant hamster bubbles I can sit in there.
The Springfield Green County Health Department is reporting an average of 3 COVID-19 deaths per day this month after a 36-person died from the virus 12 days into October, the latest victim, a man in his 60s. Ozarks Food Harvest says it's receiving nearly 70,000 pounds of food from McDonald's and Tyson Foods. The food will go to children, families, and seniors throughout the Ozarks. Ozarks Food Harvest says the donation will create more than 55,000 meals. And a businessman and his wife from St. Louis are donating $300 million to Missouri S&T in Rolla, a gift the chancellor of the school is calling transformative. The university says the money will be used to set up a new school of innovation and entrepreneurship, develop areas for research, and provide scholarships and fellowships for students. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert forecast, sunny 79 for a high today, tonight low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny, 84. Then we're going to have a front come through. Thursday's high is 64. Friday's high is 64 as well. It's 46 now. Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. If you are looking for someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear, then I would not contact Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate when it comes to selling your home. But if you want someone who's going to tell you what needs to be done in order to be able to sell your house the quickest with the most amount of money possible for you to get, then Emily Johnson is somebody that you want. When we went on The Great Escape, this was one of the things she talked about that she really focuses on, and that is being honest with people. And that, it may hurt people's feelings sometimes. She's not mean, don't get me wrong. But a lot of times you put some, maybe your own work into a house, you did some DIY stuff, and you're really proud of it. It's an accomplishment, and it may be a fantastic thing, just not what people are looking for right now. And so maybe that particular color might be detrimental to you getting your house sold or that particular homemade built thing that you've got over there. This is what Emily Johnson will tell you, all right? This is why she has a track record that is tremendously successful. Home selling 98% of their asking price within 15 days. If your house has been on the market for longer than that, or even a longer period of time, you may start to, think maybe I'm not doing it right. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455 is her number. That's 890-1455. And you can always find and like her on Facebook. When you do look for her on Facebook, look for Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. We want to have all that in there, okay? The economic toll of the coronavirus pandemic, according to the former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers, is now greater than the cost of every single war waged by the United States since the September 11th attacks. The Treasury Secretary under former President Bill Clinton and a top advisor to President Barack Obama said the economic loss is more than twice the total monetary outlays for all the wars that the U.S. has fought, more than twice since the September 11th attacks. This, in his analysis published today with David Cutler, an economist at Harvard University. They estimated the total cost of the pandemic, measured in terms of lost output and health reductions, was more than $16 trillion, or approximately 90% of the annual GDP for the U.S. For a family of four, the estimated loss would be nearly $200,000. Approximately half of the loss is due to the lost income from the coronavirus-induced recession, and the remainder is due to the economic effects of shorter and less healthy lives. You know, I've always been a big proponent of being very specific when there are businesses that go under, that it's not due to coronavirus, it's due to the reaction to coronavirus. Generally because a local government or state government has forced the businesses to shut down or puts mandates on them that make it impossible for that particular business to make enough money to survive. And we see, you know, Great American Taco earlier in the week, Alamo Draft House, some of the more recent. When you think about the whole plan of the terrorists on 9/11 was to do such tremendous economic damage to our country by hitting the Twin Towers and you know, some of the other targets as well, that would cause this country to collapse. And they didn't do half the damage we've done to ourselves, our response to this coronavirus. It's a pretty remarkable thing. Don Luzader, he's got a traffic update for us on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. Amy Coney Barrett is going through another day of hearings today. Yesterday, there wasn't anything real fruitful that came out of it. There wasn't discussion about her cases. Some of that may occur today about, you know, some of her findings, her opinions, her thoughts on former Supreme Court rulings, to give insight into her thinking and whether or not she is an originalist when it comes to the Constitution or she's one that wants to legislate from the bench. Of course, she has come under tremendous attacks because of her Christian beliefs, her Catholic beliefs. Among other things, being accused of hiding the fact she's a white supremacist by adopting black children. This is a new form of accusation against conservatives that they're racist because they're not. Like, the fact that they live their lives in a completely non-racist manner proves that they're trying to cover up for the fact they're racist, which is just sort of a weird thing. That's like saying, I like to eat steak and hamburgers. I'm actually a vegetarian, but I don't want people to know it, so I eat meat all the time. You're like, well, then you're not really a vegetarian, are you? Yes, I am. Well, that's what they say about conservatives. Well, you just act like you're not racist so that people don't know that you are. Okay. Here's Josh Hawley yesterday regarding, some of these aren't even conversations. They're monologues, if you will, and this is some of what he had to say during his period of time yesterday with the Amy Coney Barrett hearings.
One attack after another in the liberal media, one hit piece after another, many of them echoed by members of this committee, like this one, for instance, Barrett Long, active with Insular Christian Group. We've read stories about your Catholic lifestyle, stories about how you raise your children, stories about how you adopted your children, stories about your Catholic doctrinal beliefs, over and over and over questioning whether you have, I guess, the independence to be a judge, a justice on the United States Supreme Court. And it's not just in the newspapers, it's members of this committee, including the Democratic nominee for Vice President of the United States, who has questioned past nominees who have come before this committee about their membership in Catholic fraternal organizations like the Knights of Columbus. And for those watching at home, that's right, you heard me correctly, Senator Harris and others on this committee have repeatedly questioned judicial nominees' fitness for office because of their membership in the Knights of Columbus. The ranking member, when you were last before this committee, Judge, for your initial confirmation hearings, the ranking member referred to your Catholic convictions as dogma, that's a quote, that lives loudly within you, picking up the very terminology of anti-Catholic bigotry current in this country a century ago. She wasn't alone. Other senators on this committee last time asked you if you were an Orthodox Catholic. One senator said she worried that you would be a Catholic judge if you were confirmed because of your religious beliefs, I guess as opposed to an American judge, as if you can't be both a devout Catholic and a loyal American citizen. And it's not just you, Judge. Other nominees who have come before this committee for years now have been asked by my Democrat colleagues over and over their views on sin, their views on the afterlife, their views and about their membership statements of Catholic organizations, about their membership in other Christian organizations, and on and on and on. And let's be clear about what this is. This is an attempt to broach a new frontier, to set up a new standard. Actually, it's an attempt to bring back an old standard that the Constitution of the United States explicitly forbids. I'm talking about a religious test for office. Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States, before we even get to the Bill of Rights, Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States says clearly, and I quote, "No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States." Now, that was big news in 1787 when it was written, and it's worth remembering why. It's because no country, no republic in the history of the world had ever guaranteed to its citizens the right to freedom of conscience and religious liberty. Every other country that had ever existed tied together the religious beliefs that would be approved by the powerful and the right to serve in office, or to vote, or just to be a citizen. In every other country across history, you had to agree with what those in power agreed with in order to hold office or be a citizen in good standing. You had to sign a particular religious confession, or you had to disavow a particular religious group, swear not to follow the Pope, for instance. You had to pledge allegiance to the God of the city or the God of the empire. This was true from 18th century Britain all the way back to ancient Rome. And so when our founders put Article 6 into the Constitution of the United States, they were making a very deliberate choice. They were breaking with all of that past history, and they were saying in America, it would be different. In the United States of America, we would not allow the ruling class to have veto power over your faith, over what Americans believed, over who we gathered with to worship and why and where and how. No, in this country, the people of the United States would be free to follow their own religious convictions, free to worship, free to exercise their religion, and people of faith would be welcome in the public sphere. They'd be welcome there. They'd be welcome without having to get the approval of those in power, like those on this committee. They would be welcome to come and to bring their religious beliefs to bear on their lives, on their office, and all that they do, so long, of course, as they were peaceful citizens who followed the law. Religious people of all backgrounds would be welcome in public life, and no person in power would be able to control what the American people, any American citizen, thought or believed or who they worshiped. This freedom of conscience and religious liberty undergirds all of our other rights. because it tells the government that it cannot tell us what to think or who we can assemble with or how we can worship or what we can say. And that's why Article 6 is there even before we get to the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. But this bedrock principle of American liberty is now under attack. That is what is at stake when we read these stories attacking Judge Barrett for her faith. That is what is at stake when my Democratic colleagues repeatedly question Judge Barrett and many other judicial nominees about their religious beliefs, about their religious membership, about their religious practices, about their family beliefs and practices. That is an attempt to bring back the days of the religious test. That is an attempt to bring back the veto power of the powerful over the religious beliefs and sincerely public office, that they are not welcome in the public sphere unless the members of this committee sign off on their religious beliefs. I, for one, do not want to live in such an America, and the Constitution of the United States flatly prohibits it. Now, the Constitution says that people of faith, like Judge Barrett, are welcome in high office, welcome in any office, welcome throughout our public life here in this country. And I would just say to my Democrat colleagues that these years now, this pattern and practice, as we say in the law, this pattern and practice of religious bigotry, because that's what it is. When you tell somebody that they're too Catholic to be on the bench, when you tell them they're going to be a Catholic judge, not an American judge, that's bigotry. The pattern and practice of bigotry from members of this committee must stop. And I would expect that it be renounced. Now, I just heard my colleague, Senator Coons, make a reference to an old case, the Griswold case, which I can only assume is another hit at Judge Barrett's religious faith, referring to Catholic doctrinal beliefs. I don't know what else it could be, since no one has challenged this case. It's not a live issue and hasn't been for decades. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about, and this is the sort of attacks that must stop.
All right, so that was one of the highlighted moments yesterday. U.S. Senator, Missouri, of course, Josh Hawley, during the hearings, and these are going to continue on. They're saying the 27th is when they expect. That's obviously some time away for the vote, the confirmation to take place. By all accounts, even by the accounts of Democrats, it's inevitable. And so I suppose it's somewhat appropriate that what we've got going on with government in Washington, D.C. is a process that's much longer than it needs to be and unnecessarily divisive at the same time, given that it's just going to be slinging mud at her and then Republicans trying to defend her against whether it's religious bigotry or otherwise. In what is an inevitable decision, and that is the confirmation of Barrett on the Supreme Court. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Coming up tomorrow, your chance to win tickets to the Don Motley Gun Instructions Must Know Laws for Gun Owners 101 Seminar. It will be going on at Sound of Freedom USA Gun Range in Ozark October 22nd. That will be in the evening, 6:30 to 8:30. Your chance to win a pair of tickets coming up tomorrow, once an hour. But you can also buy tickets. You've got all the details and a link to buy those tickets at ksgf.com. It's got everything you need there. Let's see. There is an internal audit. I thought this was pretty interesting. An internal audit conducted by the Anti-Oppression Resource and Training Alliance found that dozens of current and former black employees at Planned Parenthood's national headquarters complained of being victims of racial incidents by white employees. Oh, really? Well, let's explore this, shall we? Coming up here in just a few moments, we've got Don Luzader with the latest traffic first. I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Finally, today, I'm able to talk to you about Turner's Rock. This is a new development that I was introduced to months ago, initially, and then got a tour and a little more intimately familiar with this place several weeks ago and the people who run it. And I've been wanting for some time to start telling you about it because it is a fantastic facility option for people that are looking for senior living community anywhere from we're still really active, we go out, we go walking 5 miles a day, to those that need some assistance or even those who need memory care. Now, the facility is not open yet, but you can go and check out the Welcome Center. It is open. It's off 65 and Sunshine. And they, I'm telling you, it is like a mini Great Escape, are the resorts that we go to. They've got resort-style pool, a game room, a theater, a bistro. They even have a pub on the rooftop. I mean, it's just the sort of place that you never have to leave. And with the different rooms, they've got 1, 2, 3 bedroom options for you. And there's transportation provided. There's housekeeping service. There's a stylist on site. Like, you want to get your hair done, you got to check it out. It is a fantastic addition to Springfield, and I'm really glad that we're able to partner up and let you know about them. So, like I said, they're opening in December. So this is a great opportunity for you to find out if this is something that you may be interested in, or perhaps for your parents or grandparents. Their website is turnersrockliving.com, or you can give them a call, 417-520-8204. That's 520-8204. Don Luzader now with the latest news.
Well, good morning. Tyson Foods and McDonald's are donating almost 70,000 pounds of food to Ozarks Food Harvest to help families who are struggling during the COVID-19 pandemic. The donation of food will provide children, families, and seniors across the Ozarks with over 55,000 meals. And Mizzou's college football game this weekend has been suspended. The Tigers' opponent, Vanderbilt, has had issues with COVID-19, leaving the team with not enough players to play. The game is being rescheduled for December 12th. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny today, a high of 79, clear 50 for a low tonight. Tomorrow, sunny 84, 64 on Thursday, and only 64 on Friday. It's 47 and sunny. An internal audit conducted by the Anti-Oppression Resource and Training Alliance found that not one, not two, not three, not four, but dozens, plural, of current and former black employees at the Planned Parenthood National Headquarters complained of being victims of racist incidents by white employees. The company's black president, Alexis McGill-Johnson, promised to do better, while also saying the group has always fought racism. He warned that a reckoning over racism is headed towards Planned Parenthood. Washington Examiner, quote, "The urgency of this moment, the urgency of the reckoning that we all know is coming, the deep urgency of what we need to do inside of Planned Parenthood, stepping into leadership in the moment. I've never felt more urgent, and I've never actually felt more free. And I want that feeling of freedom to give us all the covers to do the work we need to do, especially when it comes to getting rid of those black babies, because that's something they're very good at." You see, this doesn't surprise me. This is an organization that has a disproportionately high number of facilities that provide abortions in black neighborhoods. This is an organization that was started by Margaret Sanger, a racist, who saw black people as, you know, kind of need to get rid of them. Believed in that, you know, forced sterilizing of black women stuff. Actually spoke before the women's wing of the KKK about her efforts. That is what Planned Parenthood was born to do. So that there might be in the culture accusations of racism. BuzzFeed News reporting that dozens of black employees reported instances of racism and anti-blackness when working with white coworkers. Planned Parenthood's Human Resource Department, however, delivered no meaningful consequences or accountability for racial harm. Now, I have no idea whether there's racism there or not. Most of us recognize that we have conditioned people, many people in this country, to be victims. So a lot of folks, if something doesn't go their way or if they have an idea and it's like, oh, okay, that's a good idea, but we're going to go in this direction, there is the victim mentality. Well, it must be because I'm this or it must be because I'm that. Those things occur. So you can easily have the perception of racism where it doesn't actually exist. Now, if you listen to some, like in the Springfield Public Schools, they're teaching it doesn't matter whether it actually exists or not. What matters is whether somebody perceives it. That's a whole nother discussion. But what I do wonder about all of those left-wingers who a few years back, whenever President Trump was moving to cut off funding, and you had all of these individuals that were donating money in protest of Planned Parenthood, if all those woke people are going to stop making donations now that there are dozens and dozens of black people who accuse the organization of racism, because if not, then what you have here is the financial encouragement of institutional racism, at least according to the victims. Now, if you think that they're all just a bunch of liars, then that's something else. But I thought we were supposed to believe all of this stuff. Yesterday, we talked about Yelp now has this rating feature where you can rate businesses on their wokeness and whether or not they are not, you know, if they're not woke, if they're anti-black. And so you can get on there and really ream them. I wonder if that option, I don't know, I haven't looked. Is there a Yelp option for Planned Parenthood where we can go? This seems to me to be pretty anti-black if you've got all of these black people that are claiming that they have suffered racism at the hands of the corporate headquarters for Planned Parenthood. I mean, it just... So where are the boycotts? Where the withholding of the funds? Where is all of that, you lefties? Or is Planned Parenthood still sacred? Let's see, what outweighs what? Planned Parenthood or Black Lives? Of course, within it, there's one giant contradiction most of us are aware of anyhow. Bit of an interesting conundrum. I suppose some could point out to the fact, well, now, I mean, Planned Parenthood's head of Planned Parenthood, he's black. So there can't be racism. Well, the head of Proud Boys is also black and Latino, yet we're told they're a white supremacist group. So I suppose Planned Parenthood having a black president certainly does not mean that it can't be a racist organization. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I am Nick Reed. Oh, Fox News is a story. Maybe Joe Biden is beginning to crack a little on his refusal to answer where he stands on court packing, saying, well, I mean, he's not really a fan of it. Well, that doesn't mean he won't do it. Joe Biden did dodge questions on court packing, this time campaign stop in Ohio, but he said he's not a fan of court packing. Court packing is going on now, he said, which this is a total. If there were not ignorant people in this country, Democrats would not win a single election. Virtually every position they take, virtually every claim they make, is reliant on people not knowing the truth. They're trying to claim, and this is their latest line. See, here's what they realize. This court packing thing is not popular. They kind of jumped the shark here a little bit on, fine, we'll just start packing the court. People don't like it. You notice how you don't see a lot of polls being touted by the media about how people feel on court packing? Do you know why that is? It's not that they aren't doing it. They do all sorts of polls. It's because they're finding people don't like it. Americans are very uncomfortable about a political party essentially upending one of the three branches of government just because they don't like the fact that President Trump constitutionally gets to make an appointment to the Supreme Court for a third time. So what do they start to do? Which is just so typical Well, let's just say Trump's doing it. You know, like colluding with Russia. Like acting in an unethical manner with Ukraine. You know, here's something else Democrats are doing or threatening to do, and they say Trump is doing it. Now, of course, the court packing is a reference to back FDR started. The Supreme Court was not ruling in a way that he liked when it came to the New Deal in particular. And so his remedy was, well, I'll just start adding judges until I start getting the outcome I want. And so that's what he started doing. And Democrats who controlled Congress at the time said, no, you got to stop this. Democrats were opposed. They were the ones who they overwhelmingly controlled Congress at the time. They, at least as a party at the time, had enough honesty within them to say, no, you can't do that. We don't care if you're the same party. You cannot go and just start adding Supreme Court justices until you get a court that sides with you. Now, of course, the Democrat Party today is threatening to do just that. So that's what the court packing is. Now, what they're trying to accuse Trump of, and they say court packing, it's because he has appointed a lot of judges to open seats. Well, that's not court packing. That's court filling empty seats, which is what you are supposed to be doing. And so they're out there, and I mean, it's just as much of a lie can possibly be. Never before, when the election has already begun and millions of voters already cast, has it ever been that a Supreme Court nominee was put forward? That's never happened before. Well, first off, you know, what's funny is technically he's correct. He's correct in this. Now, what isn't correct is that there has never been an appointment made during an election season. That has happened numerous times. But technically, if you're arguing never has an appointment been made when people had already started voting, well, that's true. But we've never before had an election that lasted 4 or 5 weeks. You know, we had a day where you would show up. So now, of course, you know, Democrats want to, well, let's make it 1 week. Let's vote for two. Let's vote for three. Let's vote for four. Let's vote for five. And every additional week they add, the president's no longer supposed to be president because people are already voting. So, yeah, Joe, technically, this may be the first time that there has been a confirmation hearing underway as votes were occurring. But this is the first time that you've allowed, that we as a country have allowed votes to occur weeks in advance. On such a large scale. I mean, absentee voting has been there. But this early voting stuff, like in Georgia, which opened up this week. Texas, I believe, as well. You know, it's total, utter disaster and nightmare. You have all of this voting. I mean, look at what benefit comes from it. I know I'm getting a little off the track here, but I am so tired of this insistence for something that benefits absolutely no one other than people that want to create chaos and create shenanigans within an election. It certainly isn't simpler. In any given day, there's a story about tens of thousands of ballots that are either printed incorrectly, that are disappearing, that are being thrown away. They used to claim, this was before COVID, for the Democrats, they would push early voting. You know, they'd say, look how long these lines are on election day. That's just not right to make someone wait in line that long. You know, you're only supposed to wait in line that long for concert tickets or the new iPhone, but not to vote. So we need to spread it out so people don't have to wait in line. They interviewed a woman in Georgia this morning who waited in line for 9 hours to early vote. So clearly, it didn't fix that problem. We got ballot boxes. There was a story in California because Democrats out there have people so, and they do everywhere, freaked out over coronavirus. People that were getting their absentee ballots in the mail were smearing them with hand gel, antibacterial hand gel. And so they're destroying the ballots. So they can't count them. They're having to tell people, don't do that. And this has all worked out so brilliantly. Back to Biden. Of course, Friday he claimed that voters did not deserve to know his position on court packing, saying, I want to keep focused. Telling the Local 12 affiliate, the president will have nothing better than to fight about whether or not I would, in fact, pack the court. No, I got to tell you, the president loves what you're doing right now. And frankly, so do a lot of anti-Biden people. I happen to like it, too, because it doesn't work in your favor. Biden's problem is, do you tick off the radical base that don't want elections any longer, that just want one single party control? Or do you risk alienating people that actually don't want one party control? This is the problem when you compartmentalize people, when you create all of these different special interests as your support base. At some point, you have to pick one child over the other. He also claimed what's going on now is just an all-out effort to do away with health care. Now, how stupid of a comment is that? To do away with health care? What does that mean? The hospitals are going to shut down? We're going to throw no more doctors, no more nurses. Healthcare will disappear as we know it. He claimed that 100 million people's pre-existing conditions are going to be wiped out. Obviously, he didn't mean their pre-existing conditions. So I guess 100 million people are just, they're going to die. 100 million people are going to die because they claim Amy Coney Barrett is going to get on the court and then just unilaterally declare, by the way, no one can have health care anymore. And 100 million people are going to die because of that. What sort of person do you have to believe that? And to make the claim. Incidentally, the claim that Amy Coney Barrett once wrote that Obamacare was unconstitutional, that is a lie. She specifically cited the individual mandate forcing people to buy insurance as something she believed to be unconstitutional, but she did not say Obamacare was unconstitutional. I mean, these people, every lie they tell, incidentally, is a lie to scare people. Growing up, I remember the nonstop trying to scare old people. And the Republicans are going to steal your Social Security. Republicans are going to take, and at one point, they're going to steal your kids' lunches. That was during the mid-90s. And it seemed as if for a while that went away. And I suspect because people realized that it wasn't true, because it never actually happened. Well, we've gone right back there again. Republicans are going to steal your health care. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd. Isn't it funny that these things that they keep promising Republicans are going to do never actually happen? Even when Republicans control everything, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I am Nick Reed. You know, when you get both sides, Republicans, Democrats, and Republicans, Democrats will accuse Republicans of things that they're going to do that never happen, like, stealing your health care, stealing your Social Security, doing all of these awful things, and they never, ever happen. On the flip side, Democrats, they generally do openly tell you all the horrible things that they're going to do. But then whenever it gets pointed out by Republicans, they like to claim it's not true. Like repealing the Trump tax cuts, which Biden and Kamala Harris have both said that they're going to do. But then they say, no, just over 400,000. Well, I don't make 400,000 a year and I got a tax cut. Which is it? Or banning fracking. They say, and then when Republicans point out, hey, Ohio and Virginia and, you know, all these other energy states, they're going to ban fracking. They say, that's not true. We're not going to ban fracking. That's not true. Fact check, fact check, fact check. You're the ones who said it. Kansas Democrat backs gun confiscation, according to the Washington Free Beacon. The Democratic Senate candidate in Kansas came out in support of Australian-style gun confiscation during a campaign event last weekend. When asked about adding a training requirement to the state's gun carry permit application, Democrat Barbara Bollier said U.S. gun control measures don't go far enough, after noting that she has a daughter living in Australia, and praised their gun confiscation program that was instituted in the 90s, saying they don't have any guns, they don't allow them, and just look for all that it did for them. By the way, there's still gun violence in Australia. Joe Biden said in Texas that he would appoint Beto O'Rourke to be his gun confiscation person. Beto said that he would go door to door. He would dispatch law enforcement to go door to door to take people's weapons. And when he was asked, well, how do you think that's going to work? Well, I just assume people will turn them over. These are the same people, though, who, when you point out what they have said they are going to do, they claim it's not true. I'm not anti-Second Amendment. What are you talking about? Oh, what'd you say? Those are just scare tactics. They're your own words. They're your own words. All right, let's see. We've got Glenn Beck coming up next. If you did miss any of the show, don't forget you can subscribe to Spotify, iTunes. You can catch it that way, and also in the on-demand section at ksgf.com. Glenn Beck is coming up next. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1.